Today, 2nd January 2003, the Dhamma talk that will be delivered tonight at this meditation retreat will be on the three kinds of feeling. Feeling is also known as sensation, and in Pali it is known as Vedana. There are three kinds of feelings. Number one is the pleasant feeling. Number two is the unpleasant feeling. And number three is the neutral feeling. The neutral feeling is also known as neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling. Even though it was listed, even though the pleasant feeling was listed first, actually the yogis will experience the unpleasant feeling first. In the pleasant feeling dwells the inclination towards greed. In the unpleasant feeling dwells the inclination towards anger. And in the neutral feeling, inclination towards delusion dwells. Now, only if one can abandon these inclinations from the respective feelings, one can realize the Nibbana. Only when one can abandon these things, as I said, one can realize the Nibbana. So, we will start with the unpleasant feeling. Where is that unpleasant feeling apparent to the meditating yogis? It is apparent at the number three vipassana knowledge, known as the knowledge of comprehension. Now, if you are practicing in accordance with the method given by our benefactor Maharshi Syaro, for example, say you are noting rising and falling of your abdomen. In the beginning, you may not experience or you may not notice anything significant. After about 3 or 4 days of meditation, that is sitting meditation, when you note the rising bodily behavior, rising of the abdomen, you will see that the rising behavior belongs to one process, and the noting mind that notes the rising behavior belongs to another process. Similarly, when you note the falling behavior, you will see that the falling behavior belongs to one process, while the noting mind that notes the falling behavior belongs to another process. And similarly, when you are noting sitting, the sitting behavior belongs to one process, while the noting mind that notes the sitting behavior belongs to another process. And also, When you note the touching behavior belongs to one process, and noting mind that notes the touching behavior belongs to another process, that you will notice or you will experience. Now these bodily behaviors such as the rising of the abdomen, the falling of the abdomen, the sitting and the touching, all these behaviors are not conscious of the object. Therefore, they belong to the nature of matter or the nature of materiality. The noting minds that notes these behaviors, however, is conscious of the object. Therefore, this noting mind belongs to the nature of mind or the nature of mentality. Now you know that in either one of these processes, that is, whether it is the rising process, falling process, sitting process, or touching process, you will see that no I is involved in these processes. So what are involved in these processes? Only the nature of matter and the nature of mind. If you can know it that way, then it means that you now have the knowledge or the analytical knowledge of mind and matter, which in Pali is known as Nama Rupa Parichida Jnana. Now you have already gained the first knowledge. Even at that knowledge, while you are noting or while you are meditating, the unpleasant feeling is not yet evidenced to you, not yet apparent to you. Then you go on continuing with your noting business. Then when the concentration becomes more powerful, stronger and mature, you will begin to see that or observe that your noting mind has to follow from behind and try to note these behaviors, because these behaviors are appearing ahead of it. What are these behaviors? These are the rising, falling, sitting and touching behaviors. As these behaviors are appearing ahead, you got to follow it from behind and note it with your noting mind. Now you know that these behaviors are the cause, while the noting mind that notes them is the effect. Which means that now you have come to the second stage of Vipassana insights, particularly known as the knowledge of cause and effect. In Pali, which is known as Pasaya Parikaha Jnana. Even at this second stage, the unpleasant feeling is still not apparent to you yet, not evident to you yet. And if you go on noting, when your concentration becomes more powerful, stronger and mature, you come to the third insight, known as the knowledge of comprehension. In Pali, it is known as Samasana Jnana. In this knowledge. You know the three characteristics impermanence, anicca, suffering, dukkha, and incontrollability, anatta. You know these things by comprehension. For those people whose concentration is not yet very good, and also who had never done the tranquility meditation, after sitting for a while, that is maybe about half an hour, the yogi may begin to experience pains, tinglings, dull pains, aches, bitings, itchings, dizziness, swoying, heaviness, and like feel like being pressed from above. Then you begin to experience what is suffering. This is at the third stage of insight, known as the knowledge of comprehension. Now what you will see is that at one time you will get one kind of pain, at another time you will have another kind of pain, for example the dull pain, and also still at another time you will be having another kind of unpleasant feeling like itching and so on. As you know that these things are changing, you begin to realize that these are not permanent. The permanent is the word we use in English. In Pali, it is known as anicca. Now, in the first place, you thought, why do I come to meditate here at this meditation retreat? I don't come here to get all these sufferings. I just come here to have a quick experience of Dhamma and also to have the quick progress of insight and, if deserving, to realize the noble Dhamma. Now, you know that you cannot control it. This incontrollability means anatta in Pali. See, now you have to suffer these aches, pains, dull pains, so you know dukkha. And as they are not permanent, you know anicca. And as you cannot control it, you know anatta. Thus, you know all these three by comprehension. Now you have a lot of sufferings while you are at this stage of knowledge, namely the knowledge of comprehension. So, in the unpleasant feeling, the inclination towards anger dwells in it. You do really feel that all these things are making you uncomfortable. And you might even complain or report to the meditation master that, Venerable Sir, my mind is now in a very bad shape. And the yogi may not want to elaborate further. So the meditation master has to ask, well, he has to tell the yogi also, well, yogi, it may not be good for you, the experience that you are having right now. But according to the Dhamma, it is quite okay. Why? Because you know that things are bad when you were at this stage of knowledge, where the things are bad. You know it's the way it is. So it is a good thing in Dhamma, that is a good thing in meditation. Then the yogi retorted, may retort like this, Venerable Sir, even though you said that according to the meditation, it is quite okay. As for me, because of this pressure of this suffering, I even think that I am about to pass away. So what is that? It means the yogi is harboring, or in the yogi's continuity of consciousness, when the yogi is having unpleasant feeling, there is an inclination towards anger, and that inclination is dwelling in that unpleasant feeling. Now, only if you can note or you can contemplate to gain the upper hand over this unpleasant feeling, or in other words, only if you can abandon that inclination towards anger that dwells in this unpleasant feeling, then only you can have the progress of Dhamma or progress of insight. Now Searo said, in your body aggregates, if the suffering is becoming apparent or evident, you should consider that suffering as an arrow or as a stake. For example, when people go into the woods to do their walk, sometimes their palms of their hand or the foot may get pierced, by thorns or by sticks. Only after you remove these things from the palm of your hand or the foot, then only you can continue walking and you can finish your job. Similarly, for people like you who are practicing Vipassana meditation, and while contemplating, if you experience this unpleasant feeling, you have to consider this unpleasant feeling as an arrow, as a thorn, or a stick. Only if you can remove this arrow, this stick, or this thorn. What is that arrow in you now? What is that thorn in you? It is the inclination towards anger that is dwelling in you. You have to remove it. In order to remove it, you have to contemplate the very unpleasant feeling so that you can overwhelm it, or in other words, you can gain the upper hand, so that you can gain the upper hand. So how will you do it? Searo said, well, first you've got to be patient. That is, you must foster forbearance or tolerance. There is a saying, Searo said, only by being patient one can realize the Nibbana. This saying is the most useful one for the yogis who are meditating the Vipassana meditation. Now the yogi may think, well, do I have to suffer this? Suffer this means suffer this suffering, this unpleasant feeling. throughout the whole sitting? Don't think it that way. You just think that, well, it is following its own course. My duty is just to note it. Sometimes when you experience this unpleasant feeling, you might make your mind tense, your body tense, and so on. Don't be that way. Try to relax your body a little bit. Try to relax your mind a little bit. But try to pay attention and focus your noting mind on this unpleasant feeling. For example, if you are having pain, try to see whether the pain is just on the flesh, just on the skin, or in the flesh, or in the veins, or in the bones, or in the bone marrow. Try to find it out by also knowing the measure of the pain. Thus, try to know it by discerning. After noting 4 or 5 times, you will experience that the pain will increase in one way, and the pain may increase in another way. And when it reaches its top intensity, or when it reaches its climax, it may accordingly reduce its intensity again. When the intensity of pain is reduced, don't relax your mind and don't note superficially, because now you will be experiencing, well, the pain is, intensity of the pain is getting less. Be increasing in one way, and it may be increasing another way, and it may be decreasing in one way, and it may be decreasing in another way. As you go on noting 4 or 5 more times, you will begin to see the nature of this unpleasant feeling or the nature of this pain. There are usually 3 ways of noting the unpleasant feeling. The first way is yogi will note or contemplate this unpleasant feeling with the aim to make it disappear. This is the first method. Now, the second method is the yogi will foster a very gross mind or an aggressive mind, and the yogi is determined to get rid of this pain in one sitting or in one session. That is the second way. And then we come to the third way, in which the yogi does not do the first two, follow the first two ways, but the yogi follows the third way. That is, the yogi notes or contemplates or observes in order to know the nature of the pain. Now let us go back to the first one. In the first one, the yogi is contemplating to make the pain disappear. Why? Because the yogi wants to get rid of the unpleasantness, or in other words, the yogi wants to get pleasantness. Wanting to get pleasantness is nothing but greed or lobha. Now, in practicing Vipassana meditation, one practices in order to get rid of this greed or lobha. But now, as you have the intention of getting this pleasantness, you have the intention of getting rid of the unpleasantness, Your greed is getting into your nodings. That is, it gets sandwiched in between the nodings. As a result, it will not be easy for you to experience the Dhamma, will not be easy for you to have the progress of insight and also difficult for you to realize the Noble Dhamma. That is why you shall not follow this method. Now let us see, how about the second method? Sorry, I have not finished the first method yet. In the first method, if you are doing it that way, you are going against the wishes of Lord Buddha. According to Lord Buddha, you shall not note to make it disappear. You shall note only to know its nature in many and several ways. Note to know. How? You try to note to know whether the pain is increasing, the intensity of the pain is increasing or decreasing, or the pain is moving from one place to another. Only if you can note it that way, you are doing it according to the wishes of Lord Buddha. Now we come to the second way. In the second way, you are determined to get rid of this unpleasant feeling or pain in one sitting or in one session. If you are determined to do it that way, it means that you are fostering the gross mind or an aggressive mind. In fact, this gross mind or this aggressive mind is nothing but anger or grief. That is dosa or domanasa. Now when you practice Vipassana meditation, you practice in order to get rid of this defilement, anger or grief. But now this defilement, anger or grief is appearing in your nodings. It is sandwiched in between your nodings. As a result, it will not be easy for you to have to experience the Dhamma, to have the progress of insight, and also to realize the Noble Dhamma. Therefore, this method should not be taken. It's also against the wish of Lord Buddha. Now we come to the third way. In the third way, you note this unpleasant feeling in order to know its real nature. What is the nature of the unpleasant feeling? Well, if you note, you will see that the intensity of pain increases, the intensity of pain decreases, or the pain may move from one place to another. While in the increasing phase, it may reach the climax, and accordingly, it may reduce its intensity again. That means, by noting that way, you are going to know the nature of that unpleasant feeling. Now, if you are asked by somebody, what is meant by the nature of the unpleasant feeling? And if you answer, will it be proper if you answer this way? Well, I will tell you later. First, I'm going to ask the Venerable Siaro about it. Well, your friend may think rather low of you. If you can tell your friend, it will be better. Like, oh, what is the nature of pain or the nature of unpleasant feeling? It's the something like while you notice it may increase or it may decrease, or it may move from one place to another, and these are the natures of unpleasant feeling. Now, as you go on noting, this tattva that you know is the way of Lord Buddha. Now, as you continue noting or contemplating, and when your concentration becomes stronger, more powerful, and mature, each time you note pain, with each noting, you may experience the intensity of pain increasing, and then it may reach its top position, and then accordingly, it may reduce again, reduce its intensity again. In the reducing phase, do not let your mind go. That is, do not relax your mind. You just keep on noting by paying full attention with full mindfulness. You can also see this unpleasant feeling or the pain moving from one place to another. As you begin to see or begin to know the nature of this unpleasant feeling, your noting power becomes more powerful. Your noting becomes more powerful. And if you continue on noting, and when your concentration becomes stronger, more mature and powerful, each time you note pain, you will see that the pain appears and the pain disappears. This is the way we say conventionally. But in Pali, it should be said that appearing is arising and disappearing is passing away. Now, when you begin to see the arising and passing away of the unpleasant feeling, your noting becomes more powerful, and to you now, the unpleasant feeling is no more the main factor. Why? Because now you already know the nature of the unpleasant feeling. And you may begin to feel that the presence of this unpleasant feeling is good for you because you can do better noting. If there is no unpleasant feeling in you, you may not be able to note well. Now you are beginning to abandon the hatred the anger that is dwelling in this unpleasant feeling. Now, if you continue with your noting business, and if when your concentration becomes more powerful, stronger, and mature, sometimes you may not know the appearance of the arising of the unpleasant feeling, but you may only know the passing away of the unpleasant feeling. Anyway, you will begin to know that this unpleasant feeling and the noting mind are separate processes. So now you are beginning to abandon the anger that's dwelling in this unpleasant feeling. Now, as you go on continuing with your noting, and when your concentration becomes more powerful, mature, and stronger, each time you note pain, you will see that the pain will disappear fleetingly. And also you will notice that your noting mind that notes the pain will also disappear fleetingly. Now you begin to know that the pain or the unpleasant feeling is not permanent. And your noting mind as well is not permanent. These arisings and passing not permanent in Pali means anicca. These arisings and passing aways are tormenting you or torturing you because there are so many. And you have to keep on noting them. So it will be like a torture. So this is just plain suffering. And suffering in Pali is dukkha. Now you have no authority over them, over these arisings and passing away. And you cannot control them. They are happening in accordance with their own nature. This incontrollability you begin to know, and this is called in Pali anatta. Now you know the three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. If you know these three characteristics, and if you can abandon now the inclination towards anger that dwells in the unpleasant feeling, you may be able to realize the noble Dhamma that you have been aspiring for. In this connection, Lord Buddha has given a discourse which says that let there be pain in the body, but no pain in the mind. Now I will tell you the story. I will elaborate a little bit. At one time, when Lord Buddha was residing in Bega country, and at Susumara Giri forest grove, another man, a wealthy man, was also living in that Susumara Giri city. That man's name is that wealthy man's name is Nakula Pita. Pita is in Pali known as father. Usually in the books written in English, he was referred to as Father Nakula. So this wealthy man, Father Nakula, had been for 500 previous existences the father of the present Lord Buddha. This wealthy man is now, this Father Nakula is now very, very old. We should say that he was in the last watch of his life. He was very weak and was suffering from a variety of illnesses. There is not a single day for him on which he can claim that he was free from these illnesses. At the time, he thought about Lord Buddha. And he said to himself, well, I must go and see Lord Buddha now, because in future I may not be able to go and see him, as I am very feeble, very old, and being infested with all kinds of diseases. And when I meet the Lord Buddha, maybe I can ask a discourse from Lord Buddha to be delivered to me, the one that will suit me. So he went to Lord Buddha's place. He sat down, paid respect to Lord Buddha, and said, Venerable Sir, I am now in the last watch of my life. And there was never a time when I can say that I am feeling well. Please, sir, deliver me a discourse that will be suitable for me. And Lord Buddha gave a discourse. In order to make this wealthy man feel comfortable, and also in order that other will know about the discourse, the subject of the discourse. He said, "Oh, wealthy man, there is no such a person who can claim that he or she is free from disease or unpleasant feelings. If somebody says that he or she is free from the disease or illnesses, he or she might have said it, he or she had said it just because of ignorance or plain stupidity. So the commentary teachers expounded that what Lord Buddha said was very right, because all the things that are oozing out from the eyes, from the nose, from the mouth, and also urination and excretion are all diseases. If they ooze out more than necessary, it's also illness. If they don't ooze out at all, it's also illness. So they themselves are the sicknesses and illnesses. And Lord Buddha continued to tell the old man, "Oh, wealthy man, let there be pain in the body, but no pain in the mind. And practice so that there is no pain in the mind." I will repeat again. There must be no pain. Let there be pain in the body, but no pain in the mind. And practice so that there is no pain in the mind. The old man was very happy to hear that discourse. He was so happy. He paid homage to Lord Buddha. He stood up, walked backwards, turned to the right, and left the place. After he left the Buddha's place, he thought of the Venerable Sariputta. So he went to see Venerable Sariputta. He bowed down to pay respect to Sariputta. And Sariputta greeted him. Sariputta said, "Oh, wealthy man, you look so radiant today. From where do you come?" "Venerable sir, I just came after seeing Lord Buddha at his place." Then Venerable Sariputta asked him, "Did Lord Buddha give you a discourse?" And the old man replied, "Of course, sir. How can a person like me be not given a discourse?" Well, the way he said was with a little tinge of boastfulness. He said it because he was a father to Lord Buddha for the previous 500 existences. Of course, you remember that I had already explained it to you. And Venerable Sariputta asked the old man again, "What kind of discourse was delivered to you?" "Sir, the discourse delivered to me was, let there be pain in your body, but no pain in the mind. Practice so that there is no pain in the mind. The Venerable Sariputta, of course, was very preeminent in wisdom. So he thought, he reflected, well, the old man should have asked Lord Buddha, "Sir, how can I practice so that there is only pain in the body and no pain in the mind?" So he asked the old man, "Old wealthy man, did you ask Lord Buddha to give you a discourse on how to practice so that there is pain only in the body and no pain in the mind?" And the old man replied, "No, Venerable Sir, I thought I just got the Dhamma or the discourse that was suitable for me, so I was very happy, very elated, and I came back without asking anything from Lord Buddha." Only if, Venerable Sir, only if you can give me the discourse on let there be pain in the body, but no pain in the mind, and practice so that there is no pain in the mind. Only if you can give me the Dhamma, I will have the opportunity to listen it, because I will not be able to come to see you again in future. You remember, the worthy man was very, very old, very sick, very weak, and so on. Of course, the Venerable Sariputta gave the discourse. Now, number one, there are people who has pain in the body as well as pain in the mind. These are the people who cannot discern the nature of matter and the nature of mind. This mind and matter, the aggregate, was thought of as I. When there is a pain in the body, these people thought that I am having pain. I am having pain. Actually, you know that there is no I. What do you have? You have only the nature of mind and the nature of matter. These kind of people are known as Andha Pudujana. In English, they are blind Pudujana or blind worldlings. Now there is another type of person, like you audience here, and seven learners known as Sekapukla. When they meditate, they can discern the nature of matter and the nature of mind. If they can do it that way, there shall be only pain in the body, but no pain in the mind. Of course, when you are not contemplating, you will have pain in the mind as well as pain in the body. So what kind of a person are you? You are a person with the dual nature. See, when you meditate and you can discern mind and matter, there will be pain only in the body and no pain in the mind. When you are not meditating, you cannot discern mind and matter, and you thought that mind and matter is I. As a result, you will have pain in the body and pain in the mind. So you bear a dual nature. Now there is a third type of person or individual. They only have pain in the body and no pain in the mind. These are arahants. See? The arahants may have pain in the body, but they will have no pain in the mind. They will never feel anything in their mind. Nothing at all. Now, if one of your friends, Dhamma friends, asks you, "Friend, will you give me a Dhamma gift?" Or they may present an autograph, shove it into your hand, and please write something. Now, what kind of Dhamma gift can you give? Now you can give a very good one, very excellent Dhamma gift. That is, just tell them or just write it down. Let there be pain in the body and no pain in the mind. Practice so that there is no pain in the mind. Now, you can begin to abandon the inclination towards anger that dwells in the unpleasant feeling. Now we will go on to how to contemplate so that you can abandon the inclination towards greed that dwells in the pleasant feeling. Where is the pleasant feeling apparent? Or when is the pleasant feeling apparent? That is, the pleasant feeling is apparent to you when you reach the fourth stage of vipassana knowledge, known as the knowledge of arising and passing away. Now, before you forget, let us go back. First, you have the analytical knowledge of mind and matter. Second, you have the knowledge of cause and effect. Third, you have the knowledge of comprehension, where you have to face the unpleasant feeling. Now you come to where? The fourth stage of knowledge. That is the knowledge of arising and passing away. Here, you are going to face the pleasant feeling. So this stage of knowledge, known as the knowledge of arising and passing away, has two sub-stages. The first stage is the tender stage. The second stage is the mature stage. In the first stage, you only experience the pleasant things. Like you have the lightness in your mind and the lightness in your mind-body. And you have the pliancy in your mind and the pliancy in your mind-body. And also, you have the adaptability in your mind as well as in your mind-body. And also, you have straightforwardness in your mind as well as in your mind-body. So you begin to feel happy, you begin to enjoy it. Now, in the lower stages, while you are doing the sitting meditation, if you have to adjust your, for those people who has to adjust their position once or twice in 1 hour sitting, now they can sit through the whole hour without adjusting their position. And for those people who could sit at least 1 hour in their lower stages without adjusting the position, now they can sit through 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, and so on. Not only that, they begin to enjoy the tranquility in mind and tranquility in body. And the yogis used to say that they are so pleasant that they are like a jumping keli. You know what a jumping keli is? It is, I think, like a toy that you put in any position, it returns to its equilibrium position, you know. It's something like that. Now for this kind of yogi who had reached the knowledge of arising and passing away, approaches a meditation monastery and was contemplating the nature of mind and the nature of matter. As a result, this yogi could enjoy the vipassana joy and pleasantness. This kind of joy and pleasantness, Lord Buddha says, cannot be enjoyed by the ordinary celestial beings, let alone the human beings. So the yogi gets attached to this pleasantness. See, this pleasant attachment to this pleasantness, you can call it greed, or you can call it craving. So this inclination towards greed dwells in this pleasant feeling. Only if you can abandon this inclination towards greed that dwells in you, the pleasant feeling, then only you can realize the noble Dhamma that you have been aspiring for. There is a motto which says that while the noting is going well, you got attached to the pleasantness and you got stuck internally, which means that you have no progress in your meditation. Only when you can abandon this greed or craving, only then you can realize the noble Dhamma that you have been aspiring for. So how will you do it? Every day the pleasantness appears, you abandon it, then you will have a progress without stopping. Now, if you do it that way, you accomplish the job or you accomplish the task of abandoning this inclination towards greed that dwells in the pleasant feeling. Then how will you abandon it? Lord Buddha taught that if you want to abandon it, you have to look at it or you have to contemplate this pleasant feeling as dukkha or as suffering. Now, every time the pleasant feeling appears or arises in your body aggregates, you try to note so that it can be thought of as suffering or dukkha. Now, Sierra says, if you are suffering, will you feel pleasant about that suffering? No, you cannot feel about the suffering. So what you have to do is you have to go on noting. As you go on noting, when your knowledge progresses up to the mature stage of the knowledge of arising and passing away, every time you note, you will see that, for example, if you are noting rising and falling, you will see that the rising appears and disappears. The falling appears and disappears. That is, you will see the beginning of rising, end of rising. You will see the beginning of falling and end of falling. Now, if you continue on noting, you're going to note that if you feel happiness in your, if you feel pleasant in your body, know that there's pleasant. If you know, see that your noting mind is pleasant, know that as pleasant. What you will find out is that that pleasantness will appear and disappear. And as you are knowledge or insight progresses. These appearances and disappearances are happening very, very fast. They are so fast that it makes you feel like, in your noting, it makes you feel like they are torturing you or tormenting you, because you have to keep on following them. They are happening very, very fast. Now, if you can really comprehend it, that is, comprehend the pleasant feeling as suffering in your noting, then you have done the job, or you have accomplished the job of abandoning the inclination towards greed that dwells in your pleasant feeling. Therefore, you have to note it or contemplate it so that you can really see it as suffering or dukkha. Now we have talked about how to note the pleasant feeling as well as the unpleasant feeling. Now we come to the third one, which is known as the neutral feeling, and it is also known as neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling. In this neutral feeling dwells delusion, inclination towards delusion. When is it going to be apparent to you? Not at the knowledge of arising and passing away, not at the knowledge of dissolution, only at the knowledge of equanimity it will be apparent to you. And our benefactor, Mahasi Siaro, had said, at least you should contemplate to get up to this stage. This is the knowledge of equanimity. When you reach the knowledge of equanimity, the terror and attachment, terror and delight, doesn't bother you, nor the pleasantness and unpleasantness, they don't bother you either. And at the same time, you can do the noting with ease, that is, without putting in much effort. If I have to elaborate a little bit, terror and delight doesn't bother you means one yogi. There was an example of one yogi who was very much afraid to sleep alone in a room. Now, after meditation, the yogi said, "Well, sir, well, venerable sir, I cannot sleep alone. I am not afraid of anything anymore." So, if there is any delight, you don't get delighted too much. Now, if you have pleasant things or unpleasant things, they don't affect you either. If you see pleasant things, you don't want it too much. You don't have too much attachment. If you see unpleasant things, well, you don't feel very unhappy either. And also, in your noting, you don't have to put in much effort, which means that your noting mind and the objects are doing their own job together automatically. As the noting becomes very easy, you just go along with them. You flow with them in the stream. As a result, what happens is delusion creeps in. And there is no progress of Dhamma, no progress of insight. Only when that delusion can be abandoned, then only you can realize the noble Dhamma that you have been aspiring for. Now, how will you do it? You have to note this pleasant feeling so that you begin to see it as impermanent or anicca. Now, if you can see this This is not the pleasant feeling. This is the neutral feeling. Only if you can note this neutral feeling as impermanent, anisa, then only you finish the job of abandoning the delusion that creeps into it. Because when you see it as impermanent or anisa, that means you have a knowledge or you have a wisdom. Wisdom or knowledge means a beacon of light, and delusion means darkness. When the light comes, darkness goes. Therefore, when the neutral feeling appears, you should note it so that you can see this as impermanence or anisa. But it is easier said than done. Because at the time of Lord Buddha, the people has mature perfection or parami than we are having now. Therefore, they can note or contemplate this neutral feeling. Now, people do not have that much maturity in their perfection, so they cannot note. So if they cannot note the neutral feeling directly, how will they note? An example was given. There was a rock flat, like a mat, and a deer goes to that flat, climb over that flat, and left the flat from the other side. So one can see the footprint of the deer leading towards that flat rock. One cannot see the footprint of the deer on the rock mat. They can only see the footprint of the deer leaving that rock mat. See, you see the ascending footprints, descending footprints, but no footprints on the rock mats. So the ascending footprints are like pleasant feeling, and the descending footprints are like unpleasant feeling. And the footprints on the rock mats, which you cannot see, are like the neutral feeling. Now, so how will you note? You have to go back to the old process, that is, you note rising, falling of your abdomen. When you go on noting rising, falling, and as your concentration becomes more mature, stronger, and more powerful, and as you already have at this stage the foundations from the knowledge of dissolution. You remember, the knowledge of dissolution comes before the knowledge of equanimity. Now you are in knowledge of equanimity. Now each time you note rising, rising, you will see that it dissolves. It passes away. You will see dissolution. And also, if you note falling, it will dissolve or it will pass away. Now, as you go on noting, and as your concentration becomes more powerful, stronger, and mature, and if you focus attentively, you will see that when you note rising, you will see the rising disappearing fleetingly, and the noting mind that notes the rising behavior also disappearing fleetingly in a pair. And when you note falling behavior, you will see the falling behavior passing away fleetingly, and the noting mind that notes this falling behavior passing away fleetingly as well. And also, when you note sitting, the sitting behavior disappears or passes away fleetingly, and also the noting mind that notes this sitting behavior also passing away fleetingly. Similarly, if you note touching, the touching behavior disappearing fleetingly, and the noting mind that notes the touching behavior also disappearing fleetingly. Now, this rising behavior, falling behavior, sitting behavior, and touching behavior, these are all, they all belong to the nature of matter, you know that. Now, the nature of matter is not permanent because they are disappearing. And your noting mind is also disappearing. Your noting mind belongs to the nature of mind. So the nature of mind is also not permanent. So both the nature of matter and the nature of mind that exists in the continuity of consciousness, of in your continuity of consciousness, they are not permanent. Now, when you know that it is anicca, that means you have the knowledge of anicca. Knowledge means light, and delusion means darkness. When light comes, darkness goes. Now, Sierra said, I have given you a talk on how to abandon inclination towards greed in the pleasant feeling, inclination towards anger in the unpleasant feeling, inclination towards delusion in the neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling. You follow and practice accordingly, and may you be able to realize the noble Dhamma, all the suffering-free Nibbana that you have been aspiring for with easy practice, and by practicing with ease and comprehending the Dhamma very quickly. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you to my friends.